everybody, and welcome back after our two-week spring break. I think we just had too much of a good time on spring break. I love it. But we are back, and we are ready to start a new series, aren't we?
And so are my dogs. So it's just sorry, Scout's incorporating some wines in there for everybody. But to preface, my husband Blake is actually out golfing right now, which means I can't barricade myself in our bedroom. So I'm actually in the Scout enough. I'm actually in my library. Scout's confirming I'm in the library. He's making everything echo. But once again, prophesying, my dogs will be making lots of noise. Jillian said.
Adding in to the soundtrack. Alyssa's dogs are adding in soundtracks because our new series is, today we're going to lay the groundwork for some warfare tactics. And we are going to be laying down the foundation for our World War I series. See, y'all just thought we talked about World War II, 1940s all the time. But no. We got to talk about World War I, the Great War. And so Alyssa's dogs are providing movie backgrounds. And uh-oh, y'all, she brought out the spray bottle.
I had to. It's literally the only way people stop. It's like as soon as they see the spray bottle, they're like, all hail the spray bottle.
We're good boys. We really are good boys.
Which one good boy is looking at me right now like, I want pets. Which one, Jill? Which one is the one that wants pets?
If I were to have favorites, which I don't, as I shake my head, it's Jasper. Oh, J-Money. Oh, you guys, if you could see the sweetest face.
Hi, buddy.
Oh, my gosh. He's just a high scout. I see you, too, in the background. I love you, too. And Jill loves everybody. But Jasper loves pets. Loves pets.
Yes.
And, So I think, for those of you who don't know, just new to the series, coming on back, Alyssa, who the heck are we?
Other than one crazy dog mom and a crazy dog aunt, we are your not-so-average museum gals who love to talk all things military history and warfare as we drink and we sing some jokes in the process. So,
yep.
With the drinking, what are you drinking? Are you drinking anything tonight?
As of right now, I'm not drinking today. I felt as I was reading up on our topic for tonight, I felt very philosophical. Not that you can't be philosophical while you're drinking, but I know myself.
Deep comment.
My dad jokes get worse.
Dad jokes.
They'll come out in this episode, trust me. And we have our field correspondent with us this series. She will be making appearances
all throughout.
So She is getting her technology all set up in the field. I talked to her the other day and I said, "Where are you filming from?" She said, "From no man's land."
Oh
boy! I feel like I got to do it in her voice in order to do it justice. "Where are you filming from?" "From no man's land, and there's not a man in sight." I think she's trying to meet. I don't know. Worst place to do it.
Oh, good Lord. This is going to be great. I can't wait.
I don't know.
This series is going to be fun, though. I mean, I think we're going to get a little bit more technical and tactical as well, discussing a lot more than just specific people. So we're really diving deep into warfare, which is, my favorite thing.
Let's go.
So, but before that, before we talk warfare, though, I'm drinking.
I'm sorry, what are you drinking?
I'm my go-to Irish meal with a twist. With a twist this week.
What's the twist this time?
So, I have the Jameson as always, but it's the stout version. And then there is lemon juice, diet ginger beer to counteract the carbs from Jameson. And then I have the Detroit Bees, my honey bourbon. So I pour that in there. And it made it taste pretty darn good. I was like, we're just going to throw this in there. Because I like to be philosophical and drink at the same time.
That's okay. If I didn't have to lose weight for this pee-wee event coming up, I'm, you know.
Oh, shit.
Gotta fit into a baseball uniform, man. Anyway, let's break it down. Who are we talking about today?
Who are we talking about? We are talking about Carl von Clausewitz and Antoine Henri Jomini. So we are discussing Clausewitzian and Jominian warfare, which I think is actually, now that I'm realizing this, this was the midterm paper that I wrote in my modern warfare class in undergrad that had all service members or veterans, and I was the only civilian. And so it was, I remember this paper, this midterm specifically, because I had told the professor, I was like, all right, I'm going to be the only one to get an A in this. Like, I'm going to do great. He's like, well, like, you might not understand some of the, you know, tactical terms. I said, all right, well, if I get an A, then, like, I want to intern with you. Sure enough, I was the only one to get an A on it. And I remember, and I'm like, so when do you want me to intern? And I actually ended up having that professor for a handful of classes. So
there you go.
Yes. So I'm by no means an expert in this. It has been, like, 5 years since I've written anything about Clausewitz in Germany, but they're pretty interesting people.
That's okay. When I was, I've been an expert for all of 5 minutes on this. Didn't know there were different, like, I knew there were warfare tactics, but, like, not certain, like, you know, strategies coming from people. And it was really funny, like, reading them. I was like, wow. First of all, looking at photos of them, I'm like, okay, got to put a name to a face. Because you hear Clausewitz, and all you think of is Gazoon type.
Oh, Jill.
Maybe that's just me. I don't know. Layperson, hearing this for the first time, reading for this for the first time. Although it was a very nice, like, couple articles that I've read. But you, I think you're going to be, like, our resident, like, warfare tactic expert. You know, put all your purples on Papua New Guinea and you build. You build from there. Risk warfare tactic?
Yes.
Yes.
It's wild. So, I'm so good at board games is because I know Clausewitz and Jomini.
There you go. There you go. I need to, like, get on this, like, strategies. Just tear shit up on Risk.
Tear shit up.
But anyway. Okay. So let's explore the difference. So you have Jomini, who, correct me if I'm wrong, he is, like, kind of, at least this is what it sounded like to me. It sounded like Jomini is kind of, like, newer age, like, warfare tactics. Clausewitz is very old school, you know, we're going to let everything play out, and then we're going to be, because Clausewitz, like, in his writing, seemed very, like, reflective.
Mm-hmm.
And then, because he wrote later in his life, and then Jomini was writing during everything. And it was kind of interesting to see the two, like, comparison side by side. So what is your take on these two guys, on these two strategies?
I mean, you kind of hit it, like, the nail on the head with that specifically, because you do have Jomini who's writing quite frequently, although I believe Clausewitz did write in the very beginning, and then it was a long time before he actually wrote again, because at the same time, so Jomini and Clausewitz, I think, are only a year apart in age, if I remember correct. Let me see. They're actually just a year apart. And Clausewitz had been a professional soldier from the age of 12. 12. Yes.
Well, I mean, when you got nothing else to do.
He also grew up in Breslau, Prussia. So it kind of makes sense.
You had no choice.
He did. He had no choice. So he essentially was a soldier, like I said, at that age. And so he did write quite a bit. And then, as you know, Jomini was writing all throughout his wartime experiences. And Clausewitz was kind of, I don't want to say enchanted by Jomini's theories on war, but he did write a considerable amount about them. And then eventually in time, it completely switched. So Clausewitz was like, no, Jominian warfare is awful, and there's this, and that you need to add this in there. And it is, it's also interesting to compare and contrast, because Jomini was very fascinated by Napoleonic warfare, Whereas Clausewitz was not by any means. One, he was captured and imprisoned by the Napoleonic army in 1806. And then eventually he returns to Prussia to become a military tutor to the crown prince. And that's when he wrote Principles of War. But then about 7 years later, he's like, ha, screw you, Napoleon. I'm going to get you back. So he joined the Russian army to defeat Napoleon in 1813. And he also led troops once again to defeat him in Waterloo. So you have somebody who's in love with Napoleon, thinks Napoleon is wonderful, his war theories and tactics are amazing, and then somebody who thinks it's the complete opposite. So really you're basically in many ways comparing and contrasting Clausewitz and Napoleon, not so much Jomini and Clausewitz.
I feel like Jomini could be like mini me Napoleon. I mean, if Napoleon could get any shorter.
Essentially, yes.
Facts though. Could you, while you were talking, I was like, listen, I was like, okay, he's been a soldier since he was 12. I was like, damn, could you imagine like the if you sit down in an interview, like let's put these guys in like modern day settings. Like you're applying for a job. You're like, what's your background? You're like, I've been a soldier since I was 12. They're like, damn, what happened to you? Damn. And then he's like, I've been very like pensive and very thoughtful on everything that I have written warfare, and I have a warfare named after me. And they're like, damn. Axe though. Like, Loki, what does a person have to do around here to like have a warfare like tactic named after them?
Apparently be a soldier at the age of 12 and be in love with Napoleon. So just
Russia.
I mean if we're really gonna like kind of break it down, I mean
let's break it down. So me, I had no idea. I had to go and like read a couple like articles. I read a really good article today from a U.S. military academy. Can't remember which one it said, because it was in between, you know, work. But it let's break it down for someone like layperson. Like, what is the difference besides writing styles? Because we said, you know, Jomini is very like New Age, wrote during his time in the military. Clausewitz wrote more towards the end of it, was very kind of reflective. From your opinion and from your studies, what's really like the main difference between the two of them?
I think Jomini really considers warfare strategy to be a set of like almost scientific principles. So you kind of follow this methodology to get from point A to point B. So basically the beginning of the war to victory. Whereas, there's also kind of like this evolution of things that, you know, occur that results in wars, right? There's always a cause and then the war happens. Whereas Clausewitz, I believe, war is a natural thing because it's a human aspect of it, right? You know, you look at early civilization, wars began because of what? Resources. And so it is kind of like this innate principle. This is going to go against, you know, those who believe, you know, peace. But humans can't always coexist is basically Clausewitz's principle of it. Of, you know, that's why war is a natural thing. It is extreme. But it's also the extension of political policy and diplomacy. Is something. There's a lot of relationships or identification of relationships within Clausewitzian warfare strategies compared to Jomini, essentially.
Yeah, Clausewitz seems more of like a strategist. Definitely.
I mean, yes and no. For him, I'll say Clausewitz again, specifically. You know, with Jomini having this, okay, everything is a method. There's this, and this. So you go through all these methods or these steps to get to here, to get to the certainty, right? The absolute certainty is victory. Clausewitz, war in his eyes was just chance and probability. There's so much uncertainty with it, right? Because you have all these variables. It's not just you have this warfare tactic, you have this troop that you know is great, and then this. Clausewitz, or I should say Jomini, doesn't look into the psychological aspects of warfare. And I think that's where his warfare strategies doesn't necessarily like work very well. But Clausewitz does take in that psychological aspect of it. You know, there's the disparity that is between the ideal performance of units, the organization of systems, but they are applied to real world scenarios, whereas Jomini's is just kind of like, if you get this, then this happens. If you do this, this happens. And then ultimately this leads to victory. Because we know that everything's unpredictable. I mean, sure, their strategies worked up until World War One. I mean, they still can work within warfare today. I think actually, no, now that I'm thinking about it, the article that you read from the Modern War Institute at West Point. And you have to have these strategies still to make warfare work. But the reason why they still work is because Clausewitz looks at the psychological component, which is what our military looks at today. And they look at Jomini's methodology as, okay, well, we have this extraction point we need to get to here today. And then this can work here. However, if something goes wrong, right, it's like the psychological aspect of like, we'll say the Middle East, you know, you have a suicide bomber come out of absolutely nowhere. You can look at that Clausewitzian point of psychological warfare and kind of bring it into the realm of everything.
Ooh. So would you say, like, I mean, I'm sure there are more tactics out there. It sounds like Jomini and Clausewitz, they primarily use their, like, the military primarily uses their, those two strategies, like, all the time, or do they kind of bring in more strategies, or are those two kind of, like, the standards?
For a very long time, those were the standards in warfare, especially after the Napoleonic Wars, right? You kind of have a defense and an offense, and those tend to work in tandem, right? Because you can't always be on the defensive. You have to also be on the offensive. So using those two strategies works best together, not singularly. And so our military uses them. They still use both strategies today, but I think there's a lot more that is incorporated, right? Because with new technology, you don't necessarily have to worry about on the ground combat, excuse me. I'm slightly distracted by the dogs being outside barking, probably at a deer. They're coming up with their own Jomini and Clausewitz strategy to take out the deer.
Perfect.
That's what they're doing.
There you go.
Bo is Jomini, Scout is Clausewitz, and Jasper's just there for that command.
Yeah, quite accurate.
He's actually the one who gave the comparison before, so props to Jill.
Hey.
So, as I was saying, though, with on-the-ground combat, you know, we still have it, but it's more about counterterrorism at this point when it comes to, we'll say, like, the Middle East. Jasper has some.
It's the dogs barking from the other trenches. They're getting a radio signal from our field correspondents there. We'll see if she'll come on later, but we'll see. Connections are still a little weak in no man's land.
now I forgot. So on the ground combat, warfare, counterterrorism. Okay, now I remember. Sorry, I had to go up today. I had my process.
It's like a risk you have to build. You got to build all your purples on Papua New Guinea and you build from there.
Build.
Build.
So having counterterrorism strategies, right? I mean, that's when you'll have Army Rangers, Army Special Forces, possibly Navy SEALs. They're kind of more of like on the ground at this point with some regard because of counterterrorism. And those are the ones that we still see that are in, you know, Afghanistan for the most part. It's not necessarily like it was in the beginning of, you know, Operation Enduring Freedom, Operation Iraqi Freedom, it's not that intense of on-the-ground combat. I'm sure there still is in some regards. So these strategies can still be used, just not to the greatest effect, right? You have to incorporate other warfare strategies. So I mentioned, like, because of technology, you know, we rely so much on, I will say, you know, the Air Force at this moment, because, you know, air warfare is much bigger because you can easily do, you know, a strike, an airstrike, right? You just be like, okay, here's the target. There we go. So you can kind of eliminate that on the ground combat and that Jomanian and Clausewitzian warfare strategies there. But
especially with, like Jomany would say, like the battlefield is like static, it doesn't change. And then, you know, I feel like Clausewitz was always saying, like, the battlefield is always changing.
But exactly. And that's why Clausewitz is so, he's so right, because it goes back to human principles, right? Like, humans are just, you can't always predict humans. You can't always predict something, because especially we'll say, like, in this day and age, or even going into World War One, you have the rise of trench warfare and you have the rise of gases being used. And so, you know, at first you go in, well, even going further, you have the Russian army in World War One, like, we're going to not have these inventions and technologies, and we're going to just win because Jomany and Clausewitz. And then all of a sudden, they're like, holy crap, we're not prepared with this Jomany and Clausewitz strategies. We can't just, like, act like, okay, everybody's going to have the same thing anymore, like they were able to before World War One. Now they're experiencing all of these different aspects of it. The warfare, like, the battlefield is changing constantly. Even in the Civil War, right? You had the American Civil War, you had new warfare strategies coming out. It wasn't strictly defensive, offensive. You have different ways of, you know, changing the battlefield, whether it's the terrain, whether it's, you know, just political strategies itself, right? Because you have, like, where they really differ is there's the nature of politics, the views of war in, you know, relative terms. So it's the categorical scientific terms. As you said, Jomany is like, okay, you can be in control of the war. And Clausewitz is like, there's beyond control. Like, you just can't control war, right? Because if you could control war, then why the fuck are we fighting in the first place? Somebody easily could have a better outcome. So that's really where Jomany just lacks, is because he doesn't look at that, that person, the psychology behind people, more or less.
He's just kind of like, people are predictable. And, you know, it just reminds me of the scene from New Girl where Schmidt is picking up his daughter from daycare and she's not there. And she, you know, he asks, like, another kid at daycare, like, have you seen, like, this girl? And she's, like, very cute. It's my daughter, and she hates peas, and she has a smile that can light the world. And she's just like, a white man took her. And he's just like, what did security do about it? And they didn't do anything. Typical!
I mean, that's typical. It's Jomany.
Very Jomany. He's predicting people. If you have, gotta watch New Girl, man. Schmidt is amazing. Anyway, side note.
No.
What we're talking about.
I appreciate it, because I love a good Schmidt quote. I love New Girl so much. I mean, they are very stark contrast of each other. Like I mentioned before, Clausewitz was very much in love with Jomany's style of writing, his ideas, vocabulary, but then he's just like, the fuck? And he just totally disregards them, because I think he realized, right, after being in warfare for so long, compared to Jomany, and Jomany wasn't even in war until, I honestly can't remember at the top of my head, but, like, it was a very long time before Jomany became a soldier. So I really think Clausewitz had that upper hand because he was on the battlefield for so long. He was also a prisoner of war, right? He was imprisoned by Napoleon's army. And so he saw that aspect of it, and he saw what warfare did to not only humans physically, but it's also Men's Light as well. Just as a reference for everybody, my husband's home. So you'll hear a door.
That makes sense. I feel like if we were to put Clausewitz and Joni as like the older brother and the younger brother, they're like, we're gonna work together, but also opposite at the same time.
That's fairly accurate of them. I mean, yes. Basically, I said you have both of them and they work well together for the most part because they're so contrasting in a lot of different ways. However, they are also vastly different and you can't.
Yes.
You just, I don't know. It's just Jomini. Yeah. Jomini just irks me.
He seems like a very, like, irksome guy. Like, I feel like from a single girl's perspective, if I were to go on a date with Jomini, it's like, oh, that's nice. Like, very predictable. Bring you flowers, dinner, movie, take you home, drop you off. I feel like Clausewitz is very much like, cool, I'm going to pick you up. I'm going to bring you flowers. I'm going to do all this stuff. But you know what? We're going to go get dinner. And then, you know, we're going to see where the night takes us because the date is ever changing.
Boom.
Back to historical Bumble.
Swipe left.
Historical Tinder.
Swipe left.
Swipe right. Historical Tinder. I mean, have you seen their uniforms? Kind of fancy.
Oh, Jillian.
A little too fancy. But it's Prussia. What? What can, what? Girl's gotta do what a girl gotta do.
It just makes me laugh.
But you know what? Let's talk about, since this series is on World War One, how does Jomini and Clausewitz relate to like trench warfare with World War One? If it relates any different than in previous or later or. Because I feel like warfare's, like, tactics are all, like, they're the same, but they're changing because of new technology coming in and all this stuff. So, with World War One and trench warfare, did it change, I guess I should say?
It changed. It just didn't drastically get adopted, I feel like, until World War One or World War Two, so the Second World War. I mean, you still have these various tactics that are being used. However, they're not quite up there with trench warfare. I feel like trench warfare was really established, as we mentioned, during World War One, and it created a whole slew of different variables, right? You have soldiers who are trying to figure out how to not get gas in their eyes or die from, you know, the gas that was used. And so then you get gas masks, and that changes trench warfare completely. So that's kind of like that defensive thing. But because of gas being used, because of the rise of, oh, I love Patton for this, the rise of machine guns being utilized on jeeps, and so on and so forth, it really changes the battlefield. So yes, it's relatively, I guess, more leaning towards Clausewitz in warfare strategy, because you don't know when the heck, you know, a German soldier is going to come by your trench and just drop a gas bomb, right? You have no idea. Or if somebody is going to attach a machine gun onto a Jeep or, you know, a Model T, I should say, not Jeep, but a Model T, and then decide that they are going to go after you, right? So there's all these new technologies that are advancing, which makes the battlefield so unpredictable. So trench warfare is close to anything, it would probably be Clausewitzian warfare strategy, from my understanding.
Okay, so let's compare and contrast these boys one more time. And then we'll do final thoughts. And I think we have some some reception from No Man's Land. So we're gonna talk about the oldest brother first. Let's talk about Clausewitz. Gesundheit.
So I mean, when they discussed, you know, Clausewitz was discussing Jomini, he did say, if I can remember the quote or find it, it is, oh,
Clausewitz says this on Domini, that it is only analytically that these attempts at theory can be called advances in the realm of truth. Synthetically, in the rules and regulations they offer, they are absolutely useless. Pity the soldier who is supposed to crawl among those of scraps of rules, not good enough for genius, which genius can ignore or laugh at. Clausewitz did not like Domini. after he adopted some of his theories, right? So, like, that was 20 years after Clausewitz adopted Jomanian theories. But I mean, once again, going back to it, Clausewitz had so many years as a soldier in the Prussian army, and he saw so many different aspects of warfare, whereas Jomini really didn't have, he had experience, but not to the extent that Clausewitz did. And
yeah, because Clausewitz, he worked up through the ranks, right?
Yes, he definitely did. He worked all the way up through the ranks. You know, which is really interesting because I'm going to say this. it's not always true. It's not always like the case. However, soldiers that work their way up through the ranks tend to be some of the best officers. And it's simply because they know what, we'll use like our relative terms today for military, they know exactly what the lower enlisted have to deal with, right? Because they were there at some point. And then they also understand what NCOs, so those are non-commissioned officers, also have to handle when it comes to not only helping out or kind of leading the lower enlisted, but also being kind of like this beacon for, you know, higher enlisted officers. And so they tend to be, because they also don't use necessarily their rank against, you know, everybody else. Whereas I will say some officers who come straight out of ROTC with no experience whatsoever other than ROTC itself, or even the, you know, West Point Naval Academy, so, you know, Annapolis, let's see what else, the Coast Guard Academy, Air Force Academy, and so on and so forth, a lot of the times their leadership abilities do get disregarded because they almost have that Jominian sense. I'm not saying like the theory itself of Jominian warfare strategy, but they think of it like how Jomini thought of himself, essentially, is what I'm getting at. So, you know, if they can come out strong and kind of show them that they are going to be someone who will get down in, quote unquote, the trenches with their soldiers, airmen, seamen, you know, whatever, then they will earn the respect of whatever troop or squadron or division that they are leading. So it's just interesting too, if we're going back to like kind of what they thought of each other, Jomini definitely in turn viewed Clausewitz as tedious, pessimistic, intellectually arrogant, and obscure, which makes me really laugh at the pessimistic point, because war can make you pessimistic. I don't know what Jomini's thinking, because pessimism runs rampant in the military. Nobody.
Jomini's just, he's just optimistic.
It's
quote unquote.
It's really funny that he also is intellectually arrogant, because once again, Clausewitz has this magnitude of experience. Jomini does not. So, In my eyes, intellectually arrogant is, it has no bounds. It doesn't have any kind of right to be said, because Clausewitz has that reason to be very intellectual when it comes to warfare, because he's seen just about every aspect of war since he was 12.
It's like, I've been a soldier since I was 12. How long have you been a soldier for? And it's just crickets. Crickets.
Crickets. Chirp, chirp.
Crickets.
Chirp, 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 chirp.
Crickets. Horrible cricket noise, but it's fine.
And yeah, it's fine. No worries there.
Okay.
It's really fun to like just even think about it and look at their strategy specifically. I mean, Jomini did admire Clausewitz to some degree, and did note that a few good ideas were buried within his writings. So, yeah. So he's like, that's fine. Okay.
Maybe. Yeah. There are good days and bad days with big brother, little brother, you know.
Oh, you know. Absolutely. You know, these warfare strategies obviously influenced the United States, as I already said, right? Professor, I think one of the ones at West Point, Professor Dennis Hart Mahan, utilized Gemini theories at West Point. Several general officers for both the Confederacy and the Union during the Civil War began to put Gemini principles to work. And then more recently, though, the United States Armed Forces start utilizing Clausewitz theories during the Vietnam War and Cold War. Because psychological warfare. Clausewitz was right.
Yeah.
So, facts. Total facts. But, I mean, that's basically the rundown of those two. And I'm sure Germany did have a place and warfare theories and strategies, mainly after the Napoleonic Wars. However, going into the 20th century, Germany kind of does start fading in a lot of ways. I mean, if we're going back to contrasting or even bringing up if it's relevant to today's modern warfare strategies, Germany, yes, has that methodology. So you're right. Like I was saying, you have from point A to point B. So we're going from this point to the extraction point. What do we do? Here's this. Okay, but what if something happens, like a bomber, or I don't know, somebody gets injured along the way, or God forbid the weather doesn't uphold, right? That's when you bring in Clausewitz, you know, Clausewitzian principles and theory, because those variables are just, you don't think about them. So then you reassess. Okay, so you go back to Germany for a little bit, but then you have to go back to Clausewitz. So it's kind of this never-ending back and forth between the two. But they work. In today's modern warfare strategies, they have to work together. They can't be one or the other. And that's essentially it. I mean, that's, I guess really at that point, that's also my final thoughts. So
that's, I like it. This is like, this is fascinating to me because, like, you think about like warfare, right? And you're just like, okay, cool, warfare is warfare. Like, but then you're like, realize, like, wait, no, there is a psychological part to it. And there's, you know, a resources part to it and all this stuff. And it's going to make World War One make so much more sense now, especially with like French warfare and his machine guns on Model Ts. Like, man, it's going to be, it's going to make so much more sense. So much more sense. I don't have, like, too many final thoughts on it because, I mean, you know, it, I think you summed it up pretty well.
I hope I did. I mean, if anybody has any other points, like, please let us know.
I want to put a, I want to put a message out to our readers before we see if we can't reach our infield correspondents. What is our, if you're listening to this episode and you've made it this far, who do you prefer, Clausewitz or Germany? Tell us, write to us, put it on our Instagram. I'm gonna make a poll on our Instagram. No one ever does our polls, but it's fine.
Do the poll.
It's fine.
Honestly, I'm gonna touch base. Like, we know we are a very small podcast, and that is totally fine. We just do it because we love talking to each other about this, and I think it's really fun. But seriously, like, we really do want to know what you think. Like, if you think, Alyssa, you are still swearing too much, please let me know. I'll tone it down for you as much as I possibly can. If you're like, wow, you guys are doing a kick-ass job, we love your humor, we love the fact that you're teaching us stuff, please let us know. Like, we want to interact with you guys. We do want to make sure that everybody is heard. We just want to have fun with it. So,
yeah. And I think one of our episodes, either this series or maybe next series, whatever is easiest with Alyssa's work, school schedule, might be like a live, like an Instagram live or something. That way we can interact with everybody.
Sorry, I'm like hitting.
Alyssa's very excited. Very excited.
Virginia Beach.
But that pounding. Virginia Beach trip. The beach. The beach. Alyssa and I are actually going to be together in person.
I'll be back
May 6th through the 8th. So we're going to do a Facebook, Instagram live episode.
I will be fully vaccinated too, which will be great.
I should be. So it's going to be really exciting. It's going to be really exciting. But anyway.
Anyway.
I think we're getting some infield correspondence here from, the Countess. The Countess Applebottom of Jean. Right? Right? She, what? Countess, are you there? Yes! Yes! Yes, I'm here. I'm here. Countess Applebottom of Jean. That's right. I'm out here. I'm looking for my count. Yes. The Countess is countless. But all of a sudden, I feel like a Sesame Street reference is coming from you, Jillian. Yes? Yeah, it is. Yeah. One soldier. Ah. Two soldiers. Ah, ah. Anyway. This conversation of Klauswissian, which, you're right, Gesundheit in Germany is just, it's fascinating. But out here, there's not much action quite yet because it's trench warfare. They're all hiding in ditches. They're all just hiding in ditches. So maybe we'll get something out here soon. But yes, I've yes. Anyway.
Countess Applebottom, are you watching from a picnic in which many, many women and children and people would do during warfare before World War II?
Not at all. Not at all. I've set up camp for the ultimate husband-finding mission. But I've donned my favorite dress, which, if any of you have watched the Titanic, you'll know the one I'm talking about, with Kate Winslet, where she is wearing the purple and white stripe, and she gets off the carriage, and she does that fabulous hat. The hat pins down underneath her hat, and it's just fabulous. I've made it into a black and white uniform or dress, which is turned into a uniform, and I've highly regretted this option, because now I just look like a referee in the middle of nowhere. So here I am, historical referee, between everything going on, and I've just set up camp for the ultimate husband-finding mission.
Oh, Countess Applebottom.
Of Jean.
Of Jean, excuse me.
Of Jean. Don't forget, right now it's still a little chilly in the trenches, so I do have my boots with the fur.
And on that note...
Well, I will call in later from the trenches. Have a good day, everybody. Goodbye, Countess Applebottom.
Goodbye, good Countess Lord. Applebottom, who has boots with the fur on.
What did we get ourselves into with an infield correspondent? I don't even know.
No way there. She's just a wild one.
It's very Klauswitzian of her. She's unpredictable.
Very unpredictable. Never Germanian. Just Klauswitzian.
Yeah. Anyway, well, we will see you all next week when we talk about our next topic in this series. What are we talking about next week?
I think we are beginning World War One, so probably, I guess we could actually cover trench warfare.
Let's go for it.
We're talking warfare strategies all over again.
Let's go. I'm down. Trench warfare.
Fair. Okay.
Go. But drop us a like on our Facebook or Instagram. Write us at info.womenonwar@gmail.com. Reply to our poll on Instagram. And, you know, I think we will see everybody next week.
Goodbye.